Welcome to the Mana Church Stafford Podcast, where we're all about equipping God's people to change their world. We are thankful you are here and pray this message encourages you to love God, love others, and love the world more fervently than before. Now, let's get to it.
Today, if you could do me a favor, we're going to welcome my brother Josh. He's going to come up here, and he is going to bring us some good news today. Amen? Amen? Come on, you guys can do better than that. Can we give him a clap? Welcome him up here. Let's hear the good news of the gospel of Jesus.
Amen. Well, I'm pumped up now, so that's one thing. Good morning, Mana Church. I'm the third speaker today. We had a great communion. Pastor Jake's bringing the word. I hope I can keep the momentum going here. But today is a really good day. Are you excited that Jesus is coming back? Come on. Are you excited that Jesus is coming back? This is what we're doing here. We're here. We're worshiping the Lord, and we're awaiting his return. And it's going to be an amazing, amazing thing. And so we have been in a series, as Pastor Jake said, called He's Coming Back. And if you haven't been with us for the whole series, I'd encourage you to go back and listen to weeks one and weeks two. I always say you could do that. We've got a podcast, which is just the sermons every single week, and you can find that anywhere podcasts are located, and of course on YouTube as well, Mana Church Stafford. But if you missed it, let me give you a little bit of a recap of where we've been. In the first week, we talked about sort of the why. We talked about Jesus coming back and why, because we want to be ready. Why are we talking about this? We want to be ready for that return. That's what this whole series is about. And the return shouldn't be a fearful occasion. We talked about some events that sound a little scary, but the return is not a fearful occasion. Pastor Jake said in week one, this is not a horror story. It's not a horror story. We got to get to the end and just barely make it, and then all of a sudden we make it into heaven. No, this is a love story. This is God's plan for coming back to the earth and coming, bringing his people back to him. And of course, we get to engage with him in heaven and beyond. And so this is a love story. This is something exciting. There's hopefulness here. We started this series out also about talking about how the prophetic is not great for predicting. It's not for predicting. He told us the funny story. I guess at the time it might not have been so funny, but the story of the preacher, 88 reasons the Lord's coming back in 1988, right? And we all know that didn't happen. But if you use prophecy just for prediction, you kind of turn your focus to the wrong thing. You spend all your time anticipating, kind of planning and thinking, and you're not focused on what you're supposed to be doing in that moment. You're just constantly thinking about the end. And today, we're going to get into what we should be focused on today. But I want to also bring your attention to Matthew 24, verse 36. And in that verse, this won't be on your screen, but it says, "Now concerning the day and hour, no one knows, neither the angels of heaven nor the Son, except the Father alone." So again, as we talk about the prophetic, we can try to figure it out as much as we want, but we're not going to know. And that's okay. It's important. But as we're thinking about why we're talking about Jesus' return, I want to turn your attention to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. It says, "All Scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be complete and equipped for every good work." You know, it would be easy for us to skip this portion of Scripture. It would be easy to say Revelation is just a little too confusing, maybe scary. Let's just kind of ignore that or pass that off. But the reality is all Scripture is good for teaching and training. And so in this series, I hope you have found and will continue to find that there is something that you are getting out of this time, that God's speaking to your heart. And I know he wants to do something here today, just the way the worship and communion and everything is going. I know God wants to put something on your heart today. So, Mana, do you want to be equipped this morning? Do you want to be equipped? All right, let's go. Week two, Pastor Jake gave us a lot in the what section of this sermon. He talked about the big events that make up the end times. He talked about the four popular views of end times theology. Who was here last week for that lesson? All right, did anybody go home and try to figure out which one you were? Like, which one do I fall in? Anybody do that? Okay, maybe some, maybe not. I can't. The lights are great today, but I can't see. All right, so anyway, that's always interesting. Figure out where you were. But hey, that's not the most important thing, to figure out which box you fall in. It's just good that you're thinking about it. And next week, we're going to hit the signs of the times. Pastor Jake's going to talk about some inspiring things that are happening with the gospel. But today is all about our response as believers. What are we supposed to do in light of everything that we're hearing, in light of what's in the book of Revelation? What is our posture towards Jesus' return? So we're going to talk about our response today. And I'm going to start just by referencing a couple scriptures. In fact, not just a couple. We have a lot of scripture to go through in a very short amount of time this morning. If you're a note taker, you're going to love this sermon. You're going to have a lot of notes to take. If you're not, bear with me. But we're going to run through it. And so Matthew 6, 25 through 27. You remember this is the passage where Jesus is talking about, don't worry about your life, what you'll eat, what you'll drink, what you'll wear. Don't worry about any of that. Just as the birds are taken care of, I'll take care of you. They don't sow, they don't reap, and yet they're taken care of. And God's going to take care of us. At the end of that, or section, Matthew 6, verse 34, he says, "Therefore, don't worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." As we start talking about our response today as believers, the first thing I want to throw at you this morning is focus on what God wants you to do today. Focus on what God wants you to do today. We can't add one moment to our life by worrying about the future. We can't read through the book of Revelation and look at all that stuff and worry about it, because it's not going to. In fact, I think science and health experts would tell us the more we worry and the more anxiety we have, we're probably reducing the hours and the moments off our life. And Jesus didn't give us conflicting messages. He didn't tell us, you know, he didn't give us all this revelation at the end of the Bible so that we would stir up anxiety and fear. He wouldn't do that and simultaneously say, don't worry about anything. And so we've got to take the instruction of Jesus and say, this content, this is not something that we need to be worried about, but we do need to understand it. So focus on what God wants us to do today. If your view of end times causes you stress and panic and anxiety, my encouragement is to pick a different view of the end times. And that's just a little joke that's not in the Bible. But that's just, seriously though, it's like kind of, don't live in that anxiety. So the believer's response, we're focused on being prepared today. We are being prepared. And it's odd to say be prepared when I just said don't worry about tomorrow. But in the same way that you work today for a paycheck tomorrow, you've got to put in today what's going to help you tomorrow. We're going to be prepared today so that we are prepared for the future. And let me also mention right here, as Manna Church, we feel like it's our job to equip you. I just asked, who wants to be equipped? We are an equipping church. We've said that so many times. But the goal of the staff here at Manna Church is to say, hey, let's be a group of believers that is passionate about the gospel and doing what Jesus told us to do and following Jesus with our whole heart. That's what we want to do here at Manna. And so we want to try to bring you biblical preaching every single Sunday morning. We want you to get involved in small groups and other things so that you experience the real life that Christ has for you here. And we also want to set some proper expectations. Jesus did say that suffering would be a part of the gospel. Following Jesus was not always going to be an easy road. In fact, I've even said this before from the stage, if you've been living in such a way that your faith has never been challenged, you might have to ask yourself, am I really living a life out of faith? Am I really following Jesus if nobody ever asks me about it or questions or challenges me about it? What does your life look like outside these four walls here? So proper expectations say that our faith should be challenged at times, and that you will have to choose your priorities at some point. It may be a life or death situation. It may be losing family members or any number of things that you read about in the Bible. But at some point, you might have to choose those priorities. And so be prepared for that. We always encourage you to come to church. Come to church regularly so that you can be filled with the Word. You can have great worship. But you can connect with other believers, because we're going to need to lean on each other. And we're going to need to have that support as we walk through these times. So Jesus also talked quite a bit about being prepared. Luke 12, 36 and 37, this is right after he said, seek first the kingdom and don't worry about your life. He says, you are to be like people waiting for their master to return from the wedding banquet, so that when he comes and knocks, they can open the door for him at once. Blessed will be those servants the master finds alert when he comes. He goes on in verse 38 to say, if he comes in the middle of the night or even near dawn, in other words, if he delays, but he finds them alert, blessed are those servants. But know this, if the homeowner had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also be ready, because the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. We're going to prepare for his future return by being prepared today. He goes on, Matthew 24, verses 37 through 42. This is Jesus' response the first time as he was talking about the end of the age. He says, as the days of Noah were, so the coming of the Son of Man will be. For in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day Noah boarded the ark. They didn't know until the flood came and swept them all away. This is the way the coming of the Son of Man will be. Then two men will be in the field, one will be taken and the other left. The woman will be grinding grain with a handmill, one will be taken and one left. Therefore be alert, since you don't know what day your Lord is coming. There's the idea here that culture is going to be moving along at its regular pace. People are still going to be getting married. People are still going to be enjoying their friends and family. People are just going on as usual. And out of nowhere, Jesus is going to return. 2 Peter 3, 10 through 12 also says, but the day of the Lord will come like a thief. We see that reference a lot. On that day, the heavens will pass away with a loud noise. The elements will burn and be dissolved, and the earth and the works on it will be disclosed. Since all these things are to be dissolved in this way, it is clear what sort of people you should be in holy conduct and godliness. So what does preparation look like? How do we live a life in holy conduct and godliness? Well, you know, it's interesting. The same revelation that John shared with us that has a third of the population dying by plague and the mark of the beast and the great supper at the end of time and angels and lampstands and seals being opened, this revelation that has so many images in it also has some instruction about being prepared. In fact, in the same revelation, Jesus tells John to write letters to the churches in Asia. Remember, the church is the bride of Christ. And so he's sending these letters to the churches to kind of warn them and prepare them for what is to come. And that's where we're going to spend the majority of our time this morning. What did Jesus tell these churches? How can they be prepared for his return? We're going to start with the church in Ephesus. You can find this in Revelation 2. Verses 2 through 5. He says, I know your works, your labor, and your endurance, and that you cannot tolerate evil people. You have tested those who call themselves apostles and are not, and you have found them to be liars. I know that you have preserved and endured hardships for the sake of my name and have not grown weary. So it sounds pretty good so far. But, in verse 4, I have this against you. You have abandoned the love you had at first. Remember then how far you have fallen. Repent and do the works you did at first. Otherwise, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. Man, that's harsh. That's quite a warning. Hey, you have a lot of good things going for you. You're even testing apostles. You seem to have some biblical knowledge. You seem to have some discernment. You have some hardships that are directly related to following Jesus. And yet you have not grown weary. Man, that sounds great. I would love just for that first part to be about me. If he could say that to me, I would feel really accomplished. But he says the love is gone. The love is gone. There's no heart in it. You're going through the motions. You're just going through the motions. Man, the word David gave us this morning during communion, don't come in here and just sing songs just to check the box. Don't take the bread just to take the bread. But these folks were just going through the motions. They had it set up just right. At the beginning, their love was great. They found a rhythm. They were serving. They were worshiping. But as it went on, the love was gone. And he doesn't just say, hey, try to do a little bit better. He says, repent and return to your first love. This is what we talk about sinners. Repent. Turn from your sins. And he's saying, repent because your love is gone. As you consider your readiness, do you have a zeal for the things of God? Do you have a zeal for the things of God? Do you engage your heart as you walk with Jesus? Or has Christianity become a series of walking through the motions? Jesus says, hey, church, have zeal, have love in following me. Return to your first love is the first preparation. John would go on to write to the church at Smyrna, and he said in Revelation 2, verse 8 through 10, he said, write to the angel of the church in Smyrna. Thus says the first and the last, the one who was dead and came to life. I know your affliction and poverty, but you are rich. I know the slander of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. Don't be afraid of what you are about to suffer. Look, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison to test you, and you will experience affliction for 10 days. Be faithful to the point of death, and I will give you the crown of life. The crown kind of brings back some symbolism from the last series, the Life God Rewards. What's it going to take to get those rewards? One thing out of this passage to the church in Smyrna, one thing we see is that earthly comfort is not necessarily a sign of spiritual treasure. Possessing the kingdom of God is the definition of richness. I think about the parable, the treasure, the buried treasure. If you remember that one, Jesus was saying there was a man who, the kingdom of God is like a man who found treasure and he buried it in the ground and then he sold all he had to buy that field where he had buried the treasure. And how much would we give up just to have the kingdom of God? Just to know that we're right with Jesus, just to know that we're following him into heaven. How much would we give up for that? Would we sell everything just for that? And he says to this church, suffering will come, but be faithful to the point of death. As you consider your readiness, man of church, how would you rate the level of your faithfulness? How would you rate the level of your faithfulness? Are you willing to endure suffering for the call of Christ? Are you willing to have your reputation ruined? Are you willing to bear things that other people don't have to bear? Are you willing to take it to the end? Do you prioritize your life and or your earthly comfort over his kingdom? These are things we have to think about as we question our preparedness. So if we're going to be prepared, man of church, we have to remain faithful. Remain faithful. That was the message to the second church. The third church at Pergamum, we can find that in Revelation chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. And here he said, I know where you live, where Satan's throne is. Yet you are holding on to my name and did not deny your faith in me. Even in the days of Antipas, my faithful witness who was put to death among you where Satan lives. Again, another great encouragement. There's a lot of terrible things going on, but you've held the faith. In verse 14, though, he says, but I have a few things against you. You have some there who hold to the teaching of Balaam, who taught Balak to place a stumbling block in front of the Israelites, to eat meat sacrificed to idols, and to commit sexual immorality. In this church, people were holding on to and teaching false doctrines. Among other things, these doctrines led to idolatry and sexual immorality. As you consider your readiness, man of church, are you in tune with the Word of God? Do you know what it says? Can you discern false teaching from the truth? Are you living a lifestyle that idolizes things not of God? These are the questions we have to ask ourselves as we prepare. So reject false teaching is the message of that church. John would go on to write to yet another church, the fourth church. The church at Thyatira, Revelation 2, 19 through 20. I know your works, your love, faithfulness, service, and endurance. I know that your last works are greater than your first. But I have this against you. You tolerate the woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, and teaches and deceives my servants to commit sexual immorality and to eat meat sacrificed to idols. Sounds very similar to the last church. But what we see here is a picture of a church that's tolerating sin within its midst. There's a deceiver in their midst. And this is leading followers of Jesus astray to live lives of impurity. And so as we consider our readiness, the question is, how much do we tolerate sin? How much do we tolerate sin in our lives? Do you know what is pure and right? That's the power of this. God gives us his word. Everything we need is in here. Sometimes we don't want to read it because we don't want to know what we should and shouldn't do necessarily. But it brings freedom. God created us. He knows what we're made for. So we should know what His design is for our life. And He talks about sin, and He talks about goodness, and He talks about truth in His Word. So do you know what's pure and right? And are you quick to stop those leading others astray? Something to think about. As we prepare Mana Church, we've got to remove impurity from our lives. Remove impurity from our lives. He goes on to the church at Sardis in Revelation 3, verses 1 through 3. He says, I know your works. You have a reputation for being alive, but you are dead. Be alert and strengthen what remains, which is about to die. For I have not found your works complete before my God. Remember then what you have received and heard. Keep it and repent. If you are not alert, I will come like a thief, and you have no idea at what hour I will come upon you. In thinking about this church, it's an interesting story because there's things that they have done. This church had a great reputation. And they're kind of coasting on that reputation. They're feeling pretty good about themselves. When people think about that church, they probably still think about the glory days. And yet they're dead. Jesus says, you're dead. So they're coasting, and there's no fresh works happening. But he's saying, I'm not done with you. If you repent and turn, you have things to do. But if you're not careful, you're going to run out of time. So as we consider our readiness, are we still on mission? Or did we lose that somewhere along the way? Did we have that salvation experience? And man, that first month, that first year was awesome. And we were telling everybody about Jesus. And we were showing up to church every Sunday. And it was like, oh, it was always on our radar. And everybody would have known you were a Christian. You were a follower of Jesus. But then year two came, and year three came, and year four came. And everybody would say, oh, yeah, they're a Christian. They're a Christian. They're a Christian. But your life doesn't quite resemble that same level of passion it did at first. Your first works were greater than your last works. And you're coasting. As we consider if we're still on mission, we have to ask ourselves, are we coasting? Were our previous works greater than our last? And was our motivation to serve once an intense flame that has now diminished? Mana Church, if we're going to be prepared for the return of Christ, we have to renew our purpose. To the church at Philadelphia in Revelation chapter 3, verses 8 through 11, he says, I know your works. Look, I have placed before you an open door that no one can close because you have but little power. Yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name. Note this, I will make those from the synagogue of Satan who claim to be Jews and are not, but are lying, I will make them come and bow down at your feet, and they will know that I have loved you. Because you have kept my command to endure, I will also keep you from the hour of testing that is going to come on the whole world to test those who live on the earth. I am coming soon. Hold on to what you have so that no one takes your crown. You have kept my word and not denied my name. And because this church endured, Christ was going to keep them from the hour of testing. I know when I read Revelation, when I think about my upbringing and all the things that were going to happen, this would have probably been my prayer. Have I done enough to keep me from all the testing? That's where we want to be. But their reward was found in holding on to the word of God and enduring until the very end. So as we consider our readiness, Mana Church, can you find God's word in your heart? Have you found His word to be reliable and sustaining? And do you have the endurance and the endurance to believe it to the end? This isn't just a bunch of random passages. It's the inspired word of God. And so do you have that in your heart? Mana Church, if we're going to be ready till the end, we've got to revere the word of God. Then we get to the church in Laodicea in Revelation 3, 15 through 17. Again, he says, I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish that you were cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I'm going to vomit you out of my mouth. For you say, I'm rich, I've become wealthy and need nothing. And yet you don't realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. This church in Laodicea, there was no passion. There was no statement with their lives. You couldn't distinguish them from somebody who wasn't a believer. There was no distinguishable belief. And God says he's going to vomit them out of your mouth, his mouth. I try to think of a great example for this, but then I thought, let me not get too graphic in the sermon. But I was just thinking about the things I eat or drink that I just immediately was like, oh. I'm like, I do not want that to be the image when God thinks of me or when God thinks of our church, that he just wants to vomit us out of his mouth. How did they get there? How did they get to this place where they were lukewarm? And the answer that it gives us here is comfort. They had enough. They really didn't need God. They had their wealth. They had their possessions. And if I'm honest with you, as I read through this, I'm going, wow, this is a huge temptation for us here in America specifically. The statistics out there, you can find a number of statistics that talk about the wealth of this nation. Our most impoverished people are still wealthier than like a ton of the world. And we can get to a place that we're so comfortable, that we can provide for ourselves. When you're in need, how often is it that prayer to God is your first reaction? Or is it like, I'll stroke a check or use a credit card? For so many of us, we can get through so many days and so many weeks and so many months without really needing to lean on God for anything. And that's what was happening here with the Church of Laodicea. They just felt good about themselves. They were comfortable. They were still the Church of Laodicea, so they felt like we're still doing the church thing, but that was it. And God was like, I'm going to vomit you out of my mouth. They didn't recognize the state that they were in. They became blind. And as I read that, it may come to your mind as well. I just think about that hymn, Amazing Grace, right? Like, that's what the spirit of that is all about. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. And in this church, it's a bunch of blind people. They don't see their state as God sees it. So they were missing it. Man of church, as we consider our readiness, are you relying on God or are you relying on your own effort? Are you relying on God or are you relying on your own effort? He goes on in verse 18, kind of as a remedy to this. He says, I advise you to buy for me gold refined in the fire so that you may be rich, white clothes so that you might be dressed and your shameful nakedness not be exposed, an ointment to spread on your eyes so that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be zealous and repent. See, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and eat with him and he with me. Man, church, we have to take on the perspective of the Lord. The best we can do is really just filthy rags compared to his holiness and his goodness. We got to repent for finding comfort and security in worldly treasures. And here's what's really cool. Jesus didn't make it difficult. He just said, open the door. Just open the door. Man, a church, if we're going to be prepared for the return of Christ, we have to repent of lukewarmness. In Acts chapter 1, verses 6 through 8, some of Jesus' last words here. Says, so when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, are you restoring the kingdom to Israel at this time? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. The end time, the specific moment that Jesus is going to return is not for us to know. But he did give us something to do. while we're waiting. Be his witness here on the earth. We're going to follow a direction that God has set before us. And we're not going to follow culture. Culture is distracting. Culture says to care about entertainment and care about agendas and care about what you're going to wear and what you're going to eat. And God says, just follow me. Rely on me. I'll give you direction. I'll give you wisdom. But look to me first. Living by faith will not align with the world. There's the expectation for you. Living by faith will not align with the world. It's why so often when people at the end of services just like this, and we ask folks, do you want to make a decision for Christ today? We always want to be so careful that it's not just about joining a club. It's not just about joining a social network that happens to get together on Sunday mornings and sing some songs and hear a nice lecture. Rather, it is a lifestyle. Following Christ becomes your life mission. Living by faith, it won't align with the world, but it will prepare you for Jesus' return. And so, man of church, as we think about the revelation and the churches that Jesus spoke to, are you in a place where you say, I have to return to my first love? Do you need to remain faithful? Is that your call today? Do you need to reject false teaching? Remove impurity. Renew your purpose. Revere God's word. Or repent of lukewarmness. What's stirring on the inside of you now? If we follow God, if we live a life of faith, it will make an eternal difference in our own lives as well as those that are around us. And here's some exciting news. 2 Peter 3:9. God has hope for us. It says, the Lord does not delay his promise as some understand delay, but is patient with you, not wanting any to perish, but all to come to repentance. The offer is there. This morning, I'm going to ask us to do maybe something a little different than we've done at service, but I want to give you a time just to do a little bit of reflecting. Today you might be here and you say, I've made that decision to follow Jesus. But I can see that just like the churches in Revelation, there might be a couple things I need to button up. I want to be prepared for Jesus' return. And I could see some stuff there that if I'm honest, I find inside myself. I want to give you just a couple moments to kind of think about that and reflect on that. And if you're here today and you say, I've never made a decision to follow Jesus, but I certainly want to be there when he returns. I want my life to count. I want eternal significance. I want to be there with Jesus. Then I want you to just take a couple moments to kind of reflect on that. And so you can do whatever's comfortable to you. You can bow your heads. You can close your eyes. Whatever's comfortable to you. But let's just take 30 seconds and just kind of reflect on what's going on in your spirit at this moment. Lord, we just give you this moment, this reverent moment, God, that, Lord, we stand in. Lord, we want to be a people, God, that are living by faith. We want to be a people that are getting ready for your return. We don't know the time or the day, but let that fuel us to be prepared each and every day, God. Give us a boldness to witness. Give us an enthusiasm for your word. Bring back the passion that may have been there at the beginning, God. We're going to continue just to keep the front open down here if you want to come up. But I want to pray and close us out today. And don't miss next week. Don't miss week 4. Pastor Jake's got a great word for us as we close out this series. He's coming back. But let me close this out in prayer today. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for this time. Lord, we thank you for your love. We thank you that you actually do correct and rebuke, God. We thank you that you don't let us continue to walk in sin or walk deceived, God, but you come in and you tap us on the shoulder, God, and you pull us back into the right line with you. Lord, I pray that you would just convict every heart that needs convicting, God. Lead every person who's to be led. Provide wisdom and clarity and discernment for every person. Lord, let Manna Church be a church that if Revelation was being written today, God, it would be, wow, you guys are doing it. You love me. Your works are great. Your latter are even greater than the first. And I know you have a congregation of people who will endure to the end. Lord, that's our prayer. Lord, that we live rightly before you and we, Lord, just have an outsized impact because of what you can do through each and every one of us. We thank you, God, for this day. Pray blessing on each and every person here. In his name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Manna Church Stafford podcast. If you would like to connect with us, you can find us on the web at mannastafford.church or download the Manna Church app. To listen to our new episodes as they become available, make sure to subscribe to our podcast. We would also love to meet you in person. If you are local, our services take place each Sunday at 10 a.m. We pray you have a blessed week, and we will see you next time.